Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. Pablo Picasso, why he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare.
Boom.
Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. The girl would turn the color of an avocado when he'd drive down the street in his Eldorado. Why he was only 5'3", girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not around here. Not like you.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
It's clobbering time.
Have a sound checker. I don't think I have anybody riding shotgun tonight. I'm just gonna try to see if I can go back to doing this the way I used to do it in the old days. When Minimus wouldn't show up when I needed him or whatever. I'm hoping Flash might turn up later. We'll see. But in the meantime, welcome anyone who happens to be hearing this. Hey, if it's just one of you, if it's a thousand of you, if it's a million of you, I love you all the same. Big shout out to the great Patrick DeLeese and Mr. Chickley, because I know you guys listen sometimes, and when you do, I certainly appreciate it. You have no idea how much. And of course, the great Jogger, if he happens to show up. Big happy birthday, a big clobbering time happy birthday, of course, going out to the great Charles Macreth, our good buddy Charlie Archer out there. And anyone else who, anyone else out there, the secret is to bang the rocks together, guys. I hope we get some feedback. And I hope we get some friends hanging out with us, because in a bit, about to talk about a whole ton of geek news that came out, of course, from San Diego Comic-Con and even maybe a little bit of the Star Trek Las Vegas convention, although not so much. First, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention a few fantastic friends of the show that you should check out if you have not already, retroblasting.com. Go to retroblasting.com if you are, if you have not already and you happen to be a child of the 80s or at least a fan of the 80s nostalgia where geek stuff is concerned, in particular specializing in toys, toy playset reviews, toy restorations, and of course 80s cartoons and many other forms of 80s and around that period entertainment. But they retro blast the hell out of it all brilliantly, and wonderful Michael and Melinda, my very, very dear friends, do just an extraordinary job on that show. They also have a podcast called Dreamland. You can go link to that, where they talk about very specialized nostalgia things. They go very in-depth. This past week it was on the old show Stingray, if you're old enough to remember that, from the 80s. And they do many, many other things. Melinda just is very, very, very meticulous in detail, she and Aaron, when they do their talks about various topics a lot of it very specialized, obscure interest, but something that is, if you're into it, if it's something that happens to be something you were into and you thought nobody else was into it, you go check out Dreamland and check out their podcast on retroblasting.com. And be sure to go to their YouTube channel, which is how they started it all. That's where their great videos that they make every week are, and subscribe to the channel and watch their videos. They're fantastic. That's retroblasting.com, and go to the Retroblasting YouTube page. I have been freaking out over a lot of different YouTubers. YouTubers are really, really, it's where it's at. My son, of course, tried to force me to take this thing over to YouTube a long time ago, and I didn't listen to him, and now I'm paying the price because YouTube is where it's at right now, and I wish I was there. I'm not, and I don't know that I ever will be, but that's where all the best commentators are, where all the best things are happening, and all the people are really making a difference over there in terms of, fighting the culture war of free speech and things like that, believe it or not, within entertainment, because a great man once said, politics is downstream from culture, and unfortunately, politics has seeped into every bit of pop culture entertainment. It's being combated there on a very, very visceral level on YouTube by some of the great, there's so many great ones now in the Phantom Menace, Comics Gate and the Phantom Menace, that I've become a big fan of. And if you really like that sort of thing too, and keeping up with the zeitgeist, if you will, the things going on out there in terms of entertainment and things like that, check out some of my favorite YouTubers. Go to the great Doomcock, who I was very, very, very fortunate to have on the show back in January. He's fantastic. He's amazingly fighting that fight, that wonderful and I think righteous fight for defending our lore, our geek stuff, defending the things we love as geeks that are always under assault, and showing us that we don't have to be embarrassed for loving the things that we love and trying to defend the things that we love. And Doomcock fights that fight brilliantly and beautifully. My other favorite is Nerdrotic, Gary Beagler at nerdrotic.com. Go to Nerdrotic, go to Doomcock DVD, Overlord DVD on YouTube. Go to nerdrotic.com and go to Gary's YouTube page, Nerdrotic. Great videos he does. They both do great live streams like The Inquisition. And I'm drawing a blank on the name of their – they have a paranormal show that they do is excellent. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting the name of it from the top of my head. But you can go to their pages and check them out. Doomcock on YouTube. Just go to search over there. Go search Nerdrotic. Those are two of my favorites, but there are a lot of other ones, Comics Artists Pro Secrets and Geeks and Gamers and Mecha Random 42 and SC Reviews. And, I'm leaving many of them out, but there are a lot of great ones over there. It's just where it's at right now. Here, and, of course, BTR doesn't listen to me anyway, so they don't know I'm trying to send the business away. And I'm not. I've enjoyed some of my time here on BTR, but anyway, that's where a lot of the great shows are now. They do YouTube, they're YouTubers. They have short live streams and longer ones, and they just it's just amazing over there, even though they have a lot plotting against them. But they're the best places for sources for geek news and what's going on in the geek culture. Meant to do this last week. Again, it's always hard for me to get a show in these days with my crazy-ass schedule there, and sometimes it's tough to get anybody to ride with me. And so it's been erratic, just the way it goes. but I'm here. And anyone who does pick this up later on the download, I want to say thank you. And what do we do? What where do we start commentating right now, I guess, on all the news that came out of Comic-Con a couple of weeks back? I guess we'll just start with the MCU. How about that? That's about right now. Right now, the MCU is about as big as it gets. You know, because Star Wars is dead. Star Trek is dead. We're going to talk about those two, of course. Doctor Who is dead. The big stuff, all the big ones. And the MCU, of course, it's at its zenith in terms of money making right now. And it's on the cliff. It's standing on the cliff. And then I think they've jumped over it. I'm not talking about jumping the shark either. I'm talking about they're on this precipice. They're on this cliff. And they have decided to jump off going full bore woke. In my opinion, as a wise man likes to say. Again, everything, you know, their facts and their opinions. And it is good to clarify, I think, to say, in my opinion, this or in my opinion, that. And that's what I'm doing here tonight. When I tell you something I don't like or dislike, you know, yeah, obviously it's opinion. And one of their biggest announcements, of course, was Thor Girl. I know, sexist, sorry. Natalie Portman taking over as the Mighty Thor, they're going to be calling her, I guess. Taika Waititi, or whatever his name is, the jerk-ass director of the, in hindsight, extraordinarily overrated Thor Ragnarok, which I liked a lot when it first came out, and the further evaluations and viewings have not liked very much. And I've rated it too high on my list. It needs to go down, actually, the more I've seen it. Anyway, this jackass is directing the new film, Thor, Love and Thunder. So let that title sink in a little bit for you. Thor, Love and Thunder. Yeah, okay. Roll that one around in your mouth a little bit and see what you think of that. And, of course, as anyone keeping up with anything to do with comics these days knows that a few years back, Marvel decided to, in their infinite wokeness, change Thor into, well, it's so stupid. Thor's his name. It's not a title. We all know that, but everyone knows that, but Takahiti Waititi or whatever his name is. So, and then Marvel, obviously the Marvel staff. So they changed Jane Foster, who was dying of cancer at that point, somehow, some way. And I did not read the Jason Aaron's comic. Jason Aaron's was the writer of that book. I did not read it. I have not read current Marvel for a long time. So I'm not even commentating on whether or not the book was any good or not. I've heard a lot of people say it was trash. And some like it. So, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not talking about it in specifics, but Marvel made the decision that they wanted a female Thor. Sorry. I know that's sexist to call it that, according to these idiot producers and these MCU morons calling it, but that's what they did. They took Thor from being a man named Thor, and they took the character of Jane Foster, who has been around since the very beginning, since Don Blake was clacking his stick on the ground and turning into Thor, a la Shazam. And she was Nurse Jane Foster. Now, of course, later she became Dr. Jane Foster. And of late, apparently, the storyline was something along the lines of she had cancer. And she got Mjolnir, and that healed her. And one second, let me pause one second. For a couple of years, she was Thor. They were calling him Thor, I guess. And what happened to Thor? To Thor, you know, I don't know because I didn't read the thing. So, that I'm not even making a. I think the idea is stupid, but I'm not making any comment on commentary on the quality or lack thereof of the story. Just saying, land it out there what the whole deal is about. Now, what there? Just looking, I was making sure. I'm trying to get a sound check. I don't have a sound checker. I'll check in a minute. So I hope I'm being heard. For some reason, but in Marvel and its infinite wokeness now, has cast Natalie Portman as you all. Again, all this stuff you know, I'm just commenting on a little bit. We're going to go through it relatively quickly. Natalie Portman, who's not, almost not as tall as Mjolnir. How they're going to explain how she gets Mjolnir, I don't know, because that idiot, Takiti Watakiki, in Thor Ragnarok, not only do they destroy Mjolnir, they totally go way out of canon, because he's, you know, we'll talk about that a bit in a second, when they change, when he basically says, you're not the god of hammers, use the power for focus, you get the power, you know, when Anthony Hopkins tells Thor that he was always, he has the power inside of him, it's not in the hammer. So why didn't he need Stormbreaker? Who knows? It's convoluted crap. It was garbage when he wrote it that way. It's stupid. Anyway, Mjolnir was destroyed. Yes, it was used in Endgame, but it was from the past, and Captain America brought it back to that point in the past where the Dark World was taking place at the time. So how Jane is going to get Mjolnir, we don't know. They'll find some dopey reason for it, excuse, I'm sure. Or will it be Mjolnir? Maybe it'll be Stormbreaker. Who knows? They were just handing her Mjolnir because they had a prop right there on the stage, and she could look like she could barely lift it. A lot of people are saying things like, well, she's so tiny, how could you play even a big... Well, they're going to CGI the crap out of it. So they're going to do make her look like a big Amazon woman. I mean, there's no... I mean, I guess the same... And maybe it's a reverse effect of how they can make Chris Evans look like a 90-pound kid when he's, you know, a big dude. Maybe they're going to be a reverse of that and make her look big. The way the character does in the comics. I don't know. Either way, first of all, I think this is a bait and switch. They know they can't be this stupid. They're doing this again. It's the old thing. They're trying to split the baby, or the old have your cake and eat it too. They want to be woke, and they want to break. They think they're going to please a lot of people with this. At the same time, they know that Chris Hemsworth is very popular, especially with the ladies. Just like Jason Momoa is popular with the ladies. So, I think it'll be one of those things where she does become a Thor for part of the film, maybe even continue into another film when he's still around and he's still very big in the movie. And, of course, he'll be in Guardians 3 if they ever announce it. They curiously did not announce it. It's strange. And so, we'll see how that works out. But it's not the kind of thing. The comics are different. They always do crazy change shit like that and go for a couple of years and then make so that they can make a big event about the original character coming back to life or getting there, taking the mantle back or what have you. This will be a one movie or two movie thing, and he'll still be there. I know that they will not have the guts. They will not have the guts to go all the way with that. Let's say, I don't think. But some of the other stuff, they've announced Eternals, and I'm gonna need some help. I'm gonna need some help on Eternals here. I, of course, you know, the biggest Kirby fan in the world. It's nowhere near the most important or interesting or greatest thing Jack Kirby ever did. He was kind of doing it because he didn't get a chance to do his all the stuff he wanted to do either with Thor in the late '60s or with his New Gods. You know. With his new gods, when he went to DC, and so Eternals is kind of an offshoot of that. I think why there needs to be an Eternals Marvel film, and of course a lot of people are going to say, well, people thought the same thing about Guardians of the Galaxy. Look, Guardians of the Galaxy were pretty obscure. There's no question about it, but there was an ongoing comic book at the time. I mean, there hasn't been an Eternals comic. Well, Kirby's series lasted, and it was in the late '70s. And then later than that, like Neil Gaiman tried one, like a graphic novel. And I think they had like a one or two failed series. It's even more, they are definitely more obscure than Guardians. And I don't know. They don't look like they have the kind of gimmicks that Guardians had built in. Like you're either going to sink or swim with a talking raccoon and a talking tree. They were able to make it fun. Eternals really doesn't have anything like that. Okay? It really doesn't. Sorry. So it's going to be tough. I don't know. And, of course, they're going to make it as woke and as diverse, diverse, as possible. If, you know, if that's your thing, you know, if the diverse is what you're in for everything, they're going to be doing that. They've already made a couple of sex changes to some of the characters. But there's, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know who was clamoring for an Eternals film. No, I do know who was. Nobody. And there was nothing against it. It was actually a pretty good comic. You know, it's not nowhere near Kirby's best, but it was interesting. I just, if Jack Kirby were around today and they asked him, you think we should do an Eternals movie? He probably would say that. Not particularly. There's all kind of other things you can be doing, but they struck gold with Guardians, so they think they can strike gold with this, obviously. So, okay, and of course, Blade. Bringing back Blade now, too. A Blade remake. Can I be honest? So many people, even some of my favorite YouTubers or whatever, have been really thrilled about this and expressed some excitement over this one until they started hearing some more about what was going to go on with it. And again, because it's current Marvel Universe, even if you're into Blade, I liked the first film okay, maybe the second one. Third one was terrible, the old Wesley Snipes Blade. They're okay, but it's never really... Not something I needed. Now these are going to be PG-13, incidentally. So, okay. PG-13 Blade, really? All right, you know, whatever. But Disney Blade, all right, man. Yay. And the casting, a lot of people were thrilled about the casting because, you know, it would have been nice to have Wesley Snipes back. He could have done it, but this guy, I mean, I'm nothing against him. He's a good actor, I guess. There's one of the big rumors that came out right after. Rumor, by the way, rumor. No one knows if it's true or not. One of the big rumors was that Blade is going to be Muslim because the actor apparently is. So I'm like, and that's probably where it comes from. Some silly rumor. I don't believe it's true, but if it is true, let's say it's... If it is true, because believe me, it would not surprise me if it's true. I'm like, wait a minute, a religious vampire? All right. Need we say more? I would not put it past him, though. It would not be something that would surprise me. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier series that they've talked about. They wouldn't have kind of known they were going to do. Again, another kind of show that would make me, that's something I go, wow, I really like, I really like Sam Wilson, especially he's played by Anthony Mackie, and everyone likes Sebastian Stan as Winter Soldier. Those two together have a good chemistry. That would be pretty cool. I don't know about a show. Maybe it should have been like a miniseries or something. Maybe in a movie. I don't know, but a show, okay, but it looks like, again, some of the preliminary things coming out in terms of, again, all speculation and rumor and hearsay at this point. I always have to put that out there. That's some of the story is going to be along the lines of the evil racist government doesn't want Sam Wilson to be Captain America. Personally, I think Sam Wilson should just be Sam Wilson. He's kind of he has his own agency, as they like to say, his own personality as the Falcon, and always has. He's the first Captain America comic book I ever got as a kid. Didn't just say Captain America on it at that point, at that time, and this was. It was actually a reprint of an earlier time, so it was actually from the late 60s. It was a couple years after. It was reprinted on a Power record. But it was called Captain America and the Falcon. And so I saw them both together, and I've always loved the Falcon as the character, and Cap's Cap, you know, and Sam is Sam. And he has his own identity. And again, as legacy things go, because it's a movie, I didn't really mind him passing the mantle that much. If there's a guy deserving of the legacy out there other than Steve Rogers, it would be a Sam Wilson. Certainly not a Bucky Barnes. But just let him be. He could take the shield, sure. I mean, how a guy without super strength is going to do much with that shield, I don't know. But just let him be the Falcon. Let him go, all right, you know, thanks, Cap, and I'll keep the shield and everything, but I'm going to be me. So, again, if their plot thread really is about that, and people just, you know, bitching about it being the Falcon so they can make some kind of another woke statement with another one of their shows, then fuck them. But if not, we'll see. Again, give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. And we'll see. Again, more wokeness with their Black Widow film that is being filmed right now. Well, the the sad news there, I think it's being is it either directed or written by the same one that did Captain Woke Marvel, Captain Bree. And she's already talked about some of the things coming out that she, again, these are interviews. This is different, a little bit different from rumor or innuendo, because this is interviews with the woman being talking about things like she doesn't want, something along the lines of she doesn't want this film to focus on weapons. Let that sink in for a second. Black Widow. And weapons, somehow, what is Black Widow? And violence, I mean, it's Black Widow. She kills people. And of course, she said a few, again, it looks like that's going to be a woke fest. It all is. I mean, the MCU is rightfully called the MCU now. You can call it the FemCU if you want. Either way, it's the WandaVision show, again, something I might have been interested in. I haven't heard anything too bad about that yet, but we'll get more info on that coming up. What else? What was the other one? It was one. Oh, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. That I would look forward to. That I'm looking forward to. And I love Scarlet Witch, so I have no problem where they say she's going to be in it. Here's what kind of concerns me. Why is she in it? I mean, as a cameo or something, that's fine. I suspect that it's going to be more than that, because Disney doesn't want any kind of, they were steer completely clear of any male-centric film. And if you need proof of it, just today it came out, or yesterday or today, that Sylvester Stallone and came out, and Dolph Lundgren are coming out with a new television show that they're pitching to. They pitched to all the companies. The only one that wouldn't even hear of it was Disney, because of course it's about it's a big action series, action spy series of some sort with, what else? Wait for it, men, toxic men, toxic masculinity men, and they, it's said that Disney has turned it down because they're weren't interested, because they want to stick with female centric shows. Is that true or not? It sounds like it is, but again, not 100% sure that it's true that they said that. But let's just, you know, so let's give them a little bit of a slack. But the way they've done everything for the past 5-6 years says it is true, or at least it looks that it could be true. I believe it is. I believe it. That's just the word believe. It's not opinion. And if it is, then that why that should make me from there go, well, look, Doctor Strange is going to be, he's going to have to cut his film in half or share it somehow, or probably get pushed around by Scarlet Witch all over the place and be a dolt, and Scarlet Witch is going to run his ass all over the place and run the goddamn thing. It'll be her film. Why not? I mean, it looks like it's going that way. Everything is female-centric. So that's your status right now with the MCU, the FemCU. So we will see how long it takes for them. And it'll take a while. They're riding some a huge wave of goodwill with how, you know, well liked their MCU is, their Marvel Universe is. I mean, coming off a $1 billion film. I don't know, did Spider-Man make that? It did well. Spider-Man Far From It did well. Avengers Endgame, of course, did better of all, best thing of all time, best film, money-making wise of all time, biggest moneymaker. So, yeah. They're going to ride that wave for a while and make a lot of money, but as soon as they start, I don't know, it won't take them long. I mean, look, it doesn't take long for them to start souring it up. As soon as they, you know, when they make a movie, let's say, I don't know when the next one is, what's the next one? I'm not sure what the next one is, to be honest with you. They did talk about, I think they mentioned Black Panther 2, but they didn't really say much about it. You know, Black Panther 2 comes out, and Black Panther's in, like, part of it, and gets his ass handed to him, and his sister takes up the mantle of Black Panther. That's not going to go, that won't be a movie. It won't be a sequel that gets close to the same kind of money the first one had. In any case, but especially if they do something like that. Could it happen? Well, it's happened before. So, and that again, that's what's going to happen. Black Panther's, you know, he's going to have to be put in his place because he's a man. So, woke Disney, is going to flush that the way they're flushing Star Wars down the drain, and they are. They're flushing Star Wars down the toilet. They've been in the process of doing that for a few years. And again, because Star Wars was so huge, it's taking time. Taking a little bit of time. But it'll happen. And it's going to happen to the MCU too. Again, it, like Star Wars, it'll take a little bit of time. And now we should go on, I guess, to Star Trek, because Star Trek has been, it's funny, Star Trek had, these people with Star Trek don't really respect Star Trek fans that much, so they made a lot of their announcements at San Diego instead of waiting until this past weekend, which was the Las Vegas big Star Trek convention, which I've heard a lot about and got a lot of insight on from some YouTubers. But Star Trek... God, so dead. They announced, of course, as you all know, Star Trek Picard. Old man Picard, 90-something-year-old Picard, doddering around the 24th or 5th century, whichever it is at this point now. Wow. If you saw that trailer... What really bothers me about this sort of thing is it's so easy to tug on the heartstrings of a fan. And it really is. We all have them as fans. And it's so easy to tag into the gullibility of a fan and make them think, oh, man, because, you know, this is Patrick Stewart coming back. This is not like crap like STD, which doesn't bring back any lovable characters. This is, you know, relatively along the lines of the first piece first and, you know, the piece of crap Jar Jar Abrams garbage where bringing Leonard Nimoy into it just caused so much friction. It caused so much nostalgia that people were willing to blind themselves to anything because Leonard Nimoy was there. He was a good weapon. He was a good weapon against criticism. I fought it as much as I possibly can right here on this show for 10 years. I fought it even though they did that. Well, I mean, how do you fight Patrick Stewart coming back, even though he's good God, not the character. Someone did a calculation on the character of Picard at this point in time. I don't know how they came up with this conclusion. Is 97 on the show? Not kidding. He's 97 on the show, and he looks it. Well, a 24th century equivalent to 97, obviously, because people live, you know, a lot longer, and you know, in the Star Trek universe, they have longer lifespans, but. In the future. So, Picard is, but of course, it's not even going to be about him. He's going to be the old mentor. He's going to crawl around. Well, it's basically the show. If you look at the trailer, it's going to be a bunch of young kids. They're going to show you a little bit of Data. They try to tempt you. By putting 7 of 9 in there, and when she talks to Picard, you're like, wait a minute, there's no established canon of them meeting. I know, you're not supposed to talk about canon. You're a geek and a loser if you talk about canon. So that's a curiosity. You know, 7 of 9 being there is supposed to be a draw. I mean, she was before, but. Data looks really weird in the scene we get to see him. I don't know, you know, what they're going to do with that. Now we've heard some rumors that. We're going to get to see Riker and Troy. Ooh. Yeah, again, if you're excited by that, by the way, fine. You better get used to the idea now that it's going to be like 2 minutes. All right? Just so you'll know. They have a bunch of other characters that they're on there that no one, you can tell no one cares about. No one's going to care about. A bunch of nothing characters. It basically looks, someone said it looks like a ripoff of Star Trek Renegades. Well, that's just a ripoff of Serenity and other types of, and Andromeda and things like that. Someone said it's going to rip off Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda. And those of you who know the story on that, that's a likelihood. There's nothing that looks good about that trailer, but a lot of people, some of the staunchest critics of STD have let themselves be anywhere from optimistic to cautiously optimistic, saying it could be good, And what am I? What are you supposed? Yeah, anything could be. I think. I don't know. In this case, I don't think it could be. I think the best case scenario is it could be not as horrible as STD. But then again, that's easy. I mean, if you were to tell me, well, it's not as bad as STD. If you watch it, and tell me it's not as bad as STD. Okay, fair enough. What is? As bad as fucking STD, except of course for Jar Jar Abrams bullshit, which is the worst. But STD is his, okay? STD is that piece of shit Alex Kurtzman, and just says, I know that Michael Chabon took over Picard and Kurtzman got the outskies, but Chabon's just another one of those idiots too. He's nothing but a bad reboot lackey, the same as Kurtzman. So he has no credibility with me either. None of them do. Not even Patrick Stewart putting up with the shit. And it'll probably last a year or two. They'll have a couple of seasons of it. And it might not be as idiotic as STD. That might be true. It might be more watchable because they don't do as much to annoy people. The wokeness will be there, though. It's in the trailer. I don't need to go into it. I've been woken enough as it is telling you. We're going to be saying the word woke a million times. And that's just the word. That's the word that works. You get tired of saying it because, people say it. Well, right now, that's the descriptive of what Hollywood. Of course, if anyone doesn't know what that means, just go look it up. And in the I guess it's in the Urban Dictionary at this point. It means far leftist progressive SJW politics, and it's filtrated, it's infested in every single bit of entertainment that is out there right now, with the exception of the wonderful, lovely Orville, which I do love, and we'll talk about a little bit. So far, the Orville has been, for the most part, spared it. But you can find woke in anything. It's just almost right now, and I'm starting to work on sort of a scale in a sense. If I watch something and enjoy it, levels of woke. If it's super, super woke, especially at the outset, and it's a TV show or something, I may not make it to the next episode. If it's a movie and I'm sitting in the theater, I'll sit through it, of course. If I'm sitting at home and it's a movie or whatever, I may not make it through. Again, the woke stuff will turn me off in a heartbeat. Depending on how bad it is. If it's a little nip here and there, a little chip here and there, I'm like, all right. But I'm tired of it. We don't need this. It doesn't need to be there. I mean, STD got reviewed. Got renewed, big deal. Picard was so bad as Netflix is. Netflix paid for STD, for those who don't know. And CBS didn't pay for it. They're all access. They distribute it in America. But it's free on Netflix around the world because Netflix paid for STD. When it came time for them to buy Picard, they turned it down because they didn't like the quote-unquote story. Amazon paid for Picard. Netflix and CBS All Access CBS All Access will distribute it and put it on their network, but Amazon paid for Picard, and they paid cheaper. This is going to be a cheap show. Netflix did not pay for it. Because the same – look, Picard, and it's been said, of course, by a couple of people who work on STD and Picard. STD and Picard have admitted that Picard is going to be more like STD than the Next Generation. It's going to resemble more of that. No kidding. It's Bad Reboot. And Secret Hideout. That's another subsidiary group of Bad Reboot. That's why. It's going to be the same. It's the same bunch of idiots. From 2009, piece of shit Jar Jar Abrams and his three garbage movies, STD and Picard. All the same people. But they run around and try to make you not know. They try to trick you into not, they for years tried to trick people into not coming to that conclusion that it was going to be by the same idiots. No, it's going to be canon. No, it's not canon. Anyway, one of my favorite YouTubers, Gary Bigler from Nerdrotic, was at, and so was Mecha Random, I believe, was at the Star Trek Con in Vegas this past weekend, and they found all kind of interesting things. They learned all kind of interesting stuff about what's going on with Star Trek. And they were, It was one of the things that struck me that's interesting that Gary said is that there was no – look, there was almost a quarter million people at San Diego. He said there were like 4,000 or 5,000 people at this con. What was really interesting is he said that the age demo that he noticed just by, you know, and maybe this is anecdotal, but I mean, he walked around the whole con. He said it was the average age of the con goer. This is not just a Star Trek convention. It's the biggest one in the world. It's where all Trek people who are available at the time, and I mean, they're live and available and kicking, they're there. Anyone who's ever been on Star Trek or whatever, again, unless they have something, other commitment, usually they're all there. Just like Shatner was there, and all the names were there. They all go. I mean, as far as the big stars, they had maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people. He said, and he said the average age, he's a smart dude. I mean, this is basically on his observation. He said the average age was about 50. 50. He's 50 himself. He said the average age is 50. Not 20, not 25, not 30 like at other cons. He said he saw maybe a few people in their 20s, a decent amount in their 30s, tons of them you could tell that were in their 40s. He said almost no kids unless they were in their strollers with their parents. Very few kids or even young people cosplaying. A lot of older people cosplaying. And the average age, he ballparked the average age is about 50. That doesn't tell you that Star Trek is dead. And it's dead because he said, yeah, there were some STD cosplayers there. Also, he said there were some people there who were paid to cosplay there. Basically, Star Trek is dead. It's over. It's been coughing up blood since 2008, actually since 2005. And it's been murdered. It has been slaughtered. It's a victim. It's dead, dead, dead. You will hang by the neck, Captain, until you are dead, dead, dead. Squire of Gothos, basically, it is. It's over. Because it's not going to move on to a next generation. It's just not. Yeah, a lot of those old fuckers love it. And there's occasional young people who like it, get into it. But it's not progressing. With STD, it ferments on the goddamn shelves at the stores. Nobody buys that shit. Few people watch it they watch it on their stupid all access. The people who actually watch that, they find it in other ways, or they wait till it comes on Netflix. And of course, it's Netflix. When it comes on Netflix for free all over the world, it's only in the USA do you have to pay for the stupid ass streaming subscription. And it's third season. Well, that's gonna be a joke. But nobody buys the DVDs of the first two seasons. Nobody cares. And Picard, that's going to have a little bit of interest stirred up, but look, you know, here's the thing about that. I'm not sure why they think that's going to really, really float much, because they made, what was it, 1, 2, 3, 4 Star Trek The Next Generation movies, and none of them, other than maybe First Contact, none of them made a whole hell of a lot of money, especially Insurrection and even worse, Nemesis. They, because, quite frankly, no one, you know, they were just so fresh off of television and then rerun so much. No one really was going to go to a movie theater to watch them. Now this is many years later, and you don't, you know, Picard needs his whole crew around him. A show with either one of them, it's just not going to work. He needs that old crew with him. That's part of, everyone loves Jean-Luc Picard. Patrick Stewart was wonderful on that show. I've enjoyed watching a lot of the Next Generation episodes that I didn't care much for back when I was younger. Lately, I binge them. I don't know if it's because modern entertainment is just so terrible, or I'm getting a new look at them and a new respect for them. But I enjoy watching it. I like going back and watching it on Netflix. But nobody, they do fairly well in reruns in terms of people watching them on Netflix or watching the old shows. But no, the thing is, they're not making anything new, and I don't think anybody really wants to see an old-ass Picard by himself with some young crew that they don't give a shit about, they know nothing about. Maybe that's just me. I don't think will it linger a season or two? Maybe. But this is not going to be the hit they're looking for. They are trying to milk Star Trek for everything they can get, and it is run dry. And they will learn. They made 3 fucking shit movies. The first one made a lot of money because it was Trek had not been around a while. You put that name on it. You put Nimoy on there, and you make it look like the Fast and the Furious with spaceships, and a bunch of people went to see the goddamn thing. You make a second one, and it did half the business. It barely broke even, barely did any kind of business, and the third one bombed big time because people were sick of it and didn't care anymore. You do STD, and it's a joke. It's a bomb. No one gives a fuck about it. Most all real Trek fans hate it. There are people who are hardcore that will watch anything with the word Star Trek on it, and the Drekkies, as we call them, most people hate it. Hey, look, if you like STD, fine. You know, I've got nothing against you, but I don't know how you call yourself a Trek fan, but do whatever you want. But better that than you should be out there stealing hubcaps, as Harlan Ellison said. But Trek's over. But, and by the way, it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be dead. They've killed it, and they have no interest in bringing it back to what it was. None. And as long as these chuckleheads are in charge, the ones who run, you know, again, as long as Bad Reboot ever gets to run the show, it's garbage. It's gone. It's dead, and they will just continue to kill it. As long as the scumbags at CBS are in command, it's over. It's just gone. So there you go. And the wokeness isn't even in this case. The wokeness will start to kill. It's part of what was part of what killed Star Wars, but nowhere near what killed Star Wars. It is actually going to be the biggest thing that starts to crud up the MCU, the MCU. But in Star Trek case, it's just not good Star Trek. I mean, yes, they do a lot of woke bullshit as well. That's going to have all that because everything in Hollywood has that. But that's not the case in this. It's just that it's not Star Trek. And nobody cares anymore. I love Star Trek so much. It's at the core of my being. But they won't make it for me, and they won't make it for the people who love it. Like as many have said, SCD is for people who don't like Star Trek. It's Star Trek for people who don't like Star Trek. And it really is true. Again, not much to be said about the 007 bullshit. That's another like the Thor thing, a bait and switch thing. 007 is a woman. I've talked many times about how I don't really, as a big Bond fan, but I don't really care for the Daniel Craig iteration of Bond that much. It's Casino Royale is a good movie. It was really not a Bond film. And as the three after that have been all about James Bond, it's Millennial Bond, all about his personal life. He's a big, grumpy, nihilistic, you know, downer. There's no real charm to it anymore like the old films had. Nothing really, it's just not good. I mean, it's about his personal life, and I just have not liked any of the three films that followed it, especially Spectre. Wow. So, he's going to be retired. Again, more personal drama. And someone else is going to give his call sign to a woman and call her a 007, but he's still James Bond. And again, it's going to have as much woke crap as you can imagine. They're going to cram it up because of the idiot, unbelievably untalented and unfunny so-called comedian, British bitch who's writing it, who did the voice of the pansexual droid from Soylo. So yeah, that's fun and games, and it will be complete trash, and this might be the first time I don't walk into a theater to watch a Bond film. It will be. I will not be bothering with that, but there's not much to go into there. This is really just going to be a matter of they're going to call her 007, but he'll be Bond, and you know they're not going to hand the movie over to her or anything, but she will kick his ass. She will. They'll make a big deal of her spurning his advances and him being like they're going to write him like a dumb fuck who thinks, oh my God, how come I cannot seduce her? And she's going to be all, like I said, wokey McWokitude, and there you go. And she'll put him in his place, just as Dame Judi Dench did in GoldenEye when she was talking to the Brosnan Bond. You're a misogynistic dinosaur, she called him. Ah, shut up. A Lord of the Rings TV show. I love the, you know, the books and the Peter Jackson films, Lord of the Rings. I never watched the Hobbit ones, but I like the other ones. I don't know much, though. I'm not an expert on Lord of the Rings. Did there really need to be a TV show? Oh, and it's by the guys who are doing, who did, was it the now not so popular guys who did Game of Thrones? And there are a lot of people unhappy with those chokers. A lot of people. So, I don't know. Maybe someone can explain that necessity. But yeah, just get ready for the most diverse Lord of the Rings ever. We're going to finally find out Sauron's sexual preference. Yeah! Because who hasn't wanted to know that? Yeah, baby. Sauron and Gandalf were probably... probably had a love affair or something. Let's hope so. DC Comics, and it's funny, DC Comics and their depravity. Dan Didio with DC Comics was caught talking at a, well, it was, he was noted talking at a, at some panel at San Diego, basically admitting that new comics are garbage. Or talking about how nobody's buying new comic books. Noting how people are buying reprint comic books. I mean, like DC's been having this line for the past year or two now, where they sell these reprint compilations that have like one or two new stories, but a bunch of reprints in them that look like the old 80-page giant type things, 100-page giants, at Walmarts around the country. And they're selling very well. But their mainline crap that they stick on comic book shelves at comic shops and selling for jack shit, neither is Marvel. And they're actually finally admitting it. They know it. They've known it. But they're admitting it. I mean, Dan Didio's admitting it. So, wow. And wow. What will come of it, I don't know. But they know now. Because comic shops are hemorrhaging left and right there, closing down all over the country. I heard someone on some stream, I forgot which what it was now, but talking about how they have a friend in some comic shop up north somewhere, I think it was, where the guys just decided not to carry new comic books at all. He says people are coming there, they're barely touching comics, they want trades, and they want back issues. And the spate of reprints that Marvel just did over the past year, the True Believers reprints, and their facsimile comics, which are really cool reprints, are been... Again, people who want those, have been buying those. Instead of buying them, most of their new crap. I saw someone talking about how Captain America print run right now, sales to comic shops of Captain America, the last issue that just came out last week or whatever, was something like 37,000-something copies that went to comic book shops now. That just means that the comic shops bought that many. Who knows how many actually walked off the shelf? 37,000. Let's just say they sold every one of them. That's pathetic. Captain America is one of the most popular characters in the world, especially right now, especially due to movies, and I know movies and comics aren't really all that connected anymore. And you can't sell 40,000 copies to comic shops. That's fucking terrible. That's awful. But hey, I wonder why. Because they let an anti-American piece of shit like Ta-Nehisi Coates write it. That could be a lot to do with it. But DC, Didio, again, I don't know why Didio is so surprised. He's one of those filth bags that allows garbage. Like I saw a trailer for a new Harley Quinn cartoon. Why is Harley Quinn used to just be so? Why do they use her to be so horrible and perverted and disgusting? What is it with Harley Quinn? I don't get it. I mean, it's a new cartoon, really interesting looking animation. It's got the whole DC universe pop up in it, and it's full of vulgarity, and sexual humor and all this other kind of and cursing and all this other kind of shit. And they think they're being funny. And like this, and all the characters in this animation, they don't look harsh or anything like it would be for like an adult cartoon. They look like a kid's, and they made it look sort of like a kid's cartoon. It's just, what is wrong with you people? But you wonder why sales are shit, and wonder why no one's to watch or see any of your bullshit. Maybe there's a reason. I don't know. Maybe just go on and maybe there is. And speaking of TV shows and the wokeness, Wokeman, the Watchmen TV shows. Anyone know about that? That's right. Watchmen. Did anybody see that trailer? Wow. Wow. It is said to be a sequel, not to the 2009 Zack Snyder film. Not Hack Snyder sequel. A sequel to the one and only original 12-issue miniseries from 1986, really. The Alan Moore, Dave Gibbons epic. The sequel to the comic book. Yeah. It takes place in 2018, 19, whatever. There's a TV show, but it's... I don't know. That's going to confuse people, probably, because a lot of people aren't going to realize. They're going to probably think, is this a sequel to the movies? Well, it doesn't really matter much. It just looks unbelievably horrible. Again, Wokeman, they should be calling it. You just get ready. I mean, if you're going to watch that shit, I mean, it's on HBO. I don't have it. Don't want it. Have no interest, I guess. I'll be interested in hearing people review it. Not sure I would watch it even if I had HBO. But we'll see. I'm sure it's going to be a delight. Batwoman. The less said that about, the better. Yeah, that's, again, we all know, again, just broken record with the wokeness. Crisis on Infinite Earths, by the same people that do Batwoman, the Berlanti crowd, that I suppose is crossing over in all the CW shows. I've heard all kind of crazy things about that. They're going to have Burt Ward playing Robin? How is that going to work? Brandon Ralph is supposed to play, I think he's supposed to play the Kingdom Come Superman. Hey, look, I was told today that Kevin Conroy is going to play some version of Batman. I don't know how that's going to work either. I love the guy. I don't know. I'll get to a little good news before we get out of here. As many of you know, I'm a huge fan of the Orville. I love, love, love it. And it got renewed for a third season. Thank you. Seth MacFarlane, had my differences with him as a guy, but I love what he's done with the Orville. I love both the first two seasons. Many of us are concerned that it's going to be going to Hulu. It's going to be produced by Hulu now, not just on Hulu. It's going to be produced by Hulu. But the good thing is, look, it's leaving Fox, and you might say, oh, but no, I mean, what has Fox done for us? They only ever destroy our shows that we love. So, hey, take it off of good. Leave Fox. It's good. We don't want to be on Fox. We don't need to be on Fox. I just hope, because there will be less constraints in terms of what he can get away with, you know, in terms of, content, I hope he does not. I hope he does not try to go out of the kinds of bounds that he... the boundaries that are set for you by network television. I'd like it to. I hope he does not change anything. But whatever he does, I'll be there for it. It's going to be late 2020 before we get it again. But it's just too damn long, man. The new comic book came out. It was pretty good. The first issue of that. The good comics. Good. We'll get that at least. I don't know how long we're going to get that, but Flash was not able to make it. And I pretty much got to cover a lot of the news that we've talked about here. It's not really, no one really hang out to talk with or do anything to do. So, and nobody's here anyway. Anyone who listens to this on the download, I want to thank you very much for being here. I really appreciate it. I know this wasn't particularly interesting, but I promised to comment a little bit on the news that was coming out. I'm sure there's plenty of it I missed. So anyone else? You can always, anyone who does catch this, if you want to write me anything, you can find me, Mike Alonzo, on Facebook, or you can go to the Clobbering Times Baxter Building Basement Facebook group and join up and write me anything you want. Say, hey, you said this or that on the show, you jackass. So you know what? since I'm cutting out early, because there's nothing really to do, no one to hang with and chatter with, I'm just going to play a little song here and then get out of here. So thanks anyone who, I'm going to play you a nice little fun song about superheroes, and then going to run. So thanks for listening. Love you, love you.
Good night.